And here we go for another round, another episode of The Center Ring. TCR episode 9. Coming at your face. Live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. We're switching things up a bit this time. No show intro. Because apparently it's just an hour long and no one has time for a minute long show intro that someone worked really hard on.
It was good. It was good.
So we're just skipping the show intro, going right into rat-a-tat-a-tat. Again, this is The Center Ring. They call me Tim. They call him Brandon. How are you doing, sir?
Good, good. What's going on?
I'm doing okay. A little tired on this rainy Monday morning, but or afternoon, night, whatever you want to call it. I'm doing okay. I feel a little... So I've been dieting somewhat, if you want to call it dieting, compared to most people. I walked the dog two nights in a row.
Oh, man. That's rough.
So, and I consider...
I have no sympathy for you.
Realistically, what I call my diet is probably what you should probably normally eat.
Like, you're trying to get down to that tux weight, aren't you?
Not going to Whataburger two times a day is considered dieting for me. So that's the life I live. But anyways, what do we have on the docket for today's episode? We have, of course, roster moves. CSGO roster moves galore happening this week. Not just with one team, but with many. We will kind of break that down, discuss those a little bit. We will end the show actually a little differently. We have some show changes, kind of not directly with the show, but just in TCR, the brand in general.
And how to find us. So
yes, so we'll talk about that, kind of what our hopes are for the future. This is episode 9, after all. We are one episode away from double digits, so it doesn't get any more real than that, really. Before that, we will have the micro, but right now, a pretty overall what was somewhat of a small tournament as far as team level went. iBuy Power Cup just happened for CSGO. A lot of exciting things happening with that tournament, just given the fact that you didn't have your full typical top tier teams there. There were no, I mean, honestly, Cloud9 and Liquid were arguably the biggest teams there.
Yeah, but it is the biggest tournament North America has had, and Luminosity was there. You know, Conquest, who's played well previously, was there. So, I mean, there were some teams that were doing pretty well, but yeah, you didn't have any of the heavy hitters.
No, you didn't. I mean, they were really busy, you know, doing other things like blowing up rosters and ruining G2's dream of ever becoming relevant. So that's what, I mean, teams like Fnatic and everything doing. And this was really Luminosity is throwing everything off. I want to say it was just like a North American tournament. You had Renegades there, but then you have Luminosity, who is, you know, Brazil. So, I mean, they ruin everything by just having a nice fluid North American whatever. But that's fine, because they were also there. And given recent performance, I think that was also a key thing that everyone was looking for. But also one thing that was kind of, obviously this was their tournament, so I'm sure it was definitely stressed not to bring it up. But this, to me, was one of iBuy Power's kind of first dipping their toes back into the water of Counter-Strike. And ever since that, you know, controversy of when they had a team and they got caught fixing matches. And again, that really has nothing to do with iBuy Power brand.
It's not like they were
the,
like,
risk you have of having a title sponsor, right?
Yeah, it's not like they were going back and telling their players to fix these matches for these skins or whatever it is. But they've also, I mean, iBuy Power also did some other stuff. Like, they have a esports day. I don't know if it's already happened, but it's just like
a very good question.
It's
we like might never know.
Free convention, something that they're supposed to be doing, all related to esports. I mean, they're trying. And this tournament was a good step in that direction.
Yeah, I thought it was a very well put together overall. If you want to just kind of talk about the feel for the stream and everything, watching it on Twitch first before we get into the team's performance.
The stream went really well.
Some technical difficulties, yeah. Which it seems like that's the norm when it comes to tournaments.
Well, the thing that bothered me the most was like the major technical difficulty that I kept getting was the audio from the casters, and they never fixed it. It went through both days.
I will give them the benefit of the doubt. Being someone who works in the audio field, they probably honestly had no rhyme or reason on why it was doing it, and they probably honestly like turned off and turned back on. They probably restarted whatever audio board they were using, and that fixed it. I can almost promise you they had no idea. Those sound engineers probably had no idea why they would go full robotic voice randomly. I feel like nowadays, I mean, having a computer that has some issues or a monitor that's having issues or anything like that is just part of the norm now, and I guess you're just going to get that with esports.
Yeah, until the stuff gets so sophisticated that, yeah.
Technology. I mean, it's just one of those things that you have to go with it.
And that esports arena that they held the tournament in out there in California is really nice. That's the second or third kind of big tournament they've already held in there. It seems to be working out pretty well.
I thought the presentation was well. I liked it better than MLG Sivo's arena.
Yeah.
It looked a little bit more
interesting.
Not in a warehouse. Kind of, I don't, and maybe, like we said, maybe it's a lot of it has to do with the presentation and crowd mics, but it just seemed like, yeah, it just was more engaged and the casters weren't in the middle of the teams. I don't know. I liked the way it looked more. I have no idea on what the capacity on that is or anything. It looked like some good turnouts. I know Hiko took a picture in between the one of his matches and it looked a little bland. We'll chalk it up to they were probably playing at like 2 o'clock California time. So
yeah, they were playing pretty early out there.
But looking here at the teams here, so we'll start from the bottom, go from the top like usual. So in last place, or seventh and eighth place, however you want to word those with the way these tournament ends, you have Winter Fox in a very, very disappointing finish to me just after what they showed at SIVO, and that was Conquest.
Winter Fox, come on, you just got that new sponsor.
Apparently.
What are you doing? They gave you a room to train in. I saw the YouTube video. What are you doing?
Apparently having your logo painted on your wall does not...
It doesn't make you good?
It doesn't make you any better or have any better strats than before.
But I read the press release. That was an industry first.
That's great. maybe SteelSeries can have better products when they work on their last place team.
There you go.
But then you have Conquest, which, I mean, Winter Fox is Winter Fox. I don't think there was any expectations going in for them. But Conquest and Shazam, I mean, they played so well at SIVO. They kind of had that boost of, you know, skill level to where they were playing against top teams. And everyone kind of got excited for them. They were like, hey, is this a new North American team trying to break into the scene? And everyone, you know, they got eliminated again. They were playing with house money in SIVO. So they come here to iBuyPower and just bombed.
Well, that SIVO performance they had was perfectly timed because Cloud9 was slumping. Liquid obviously got eliminated in two games at SIVO. But if you look at Conquest's like performance over time, and I'm talking like everything from their match scores to their round scores to like their kill and death, they are on a serious wave up and down, like constant over the entire course of the team.
And I don't want to say that the entire team rests on Shazam's performance, but I feel like he is one of the better players on that team, especially given his background and, you know, older teams, like playing on teams like Cloud9. And I know I saw him tweet out this week saying, I guess he bought a new mouse, same model, newer mouse. And I guess that was really messing with him. Like, for whatever reason, he said it seemed like faster sensitivity and he could never just get it where it was feeling at before, which...
You gotta wonder, though, if that was, like, got into his head. Like, he had a bad game with it, and then all of a sudden it just starts piling up.
And, you know, every athlete or every, you know, everybody does that. If you have a bad game in hockey, you throw away that stick, you get a new pair of gloves, you do whatever to try and swing it. He went and actually bought another new mouse, same model and everything, and he said it worked out a little better. So, look, I don't think you can chalk it up to, it could just be equipment issues and you're not comfortable with it, but at the same time, you have to perform better than they going 0-2.
Yeah, then getting knocked out in the first couple hours.
You're looking at a team like Complexity actually placed better than Conquest, which Complexity, I mean, what have they done?
This was their most surprising tournament in a while.
You know, I look, and looking at all the show and getting ready for the show, I looked at some of Complexity's older tournaments and everything this year that they've played in, and they always place like second and third and everything like that at those tournaments, and it makes me wonder, like, where are you getting into these tournaments at where Complexity is placing like second place? And I'm sure you can look it up on Google, like, but I'm not going to do that.
Like tier two tournaments, or
they have to be. Look, let me click over here. So like here they have here, like they won back in May at the ESWC, or no, I'm sorry, that was way back in 2005. So even okay. So here, they placed second in the ESEA Season 16 Global Invite Division, and that was back in 2014. I mean, that was their last notable accomplishment. was way back in 2014, and here they are kind of showing up big.
I mean, they've got to be playing through like ESEA Pro League and qualifying for these tournaments somehow. I mean, this was obviously it was an invitational, and let's be honest, there's not a whole lot of depth to pick from if you're looking in the North American or South American
right.
scene.
And,
so.
And to be fair, iBuyPower, being a North American company, clearly based this tournament off of catering to the home crowd with their teams, which I don't mind at all. I don't need Fnatic being in every tournament. I don't need Virtus Pro fighting against Envious in the finals for every tournament. I'm okay with watching these summer, you know,
well, Moses,
I don't want to say second tier tournament, because iBuyPower is a big enough company to not call it second tier.
Moses made the good point that having these kind of tournaments, especially here in North America, is going to help grow what little scene we do have. Like, we've got a ton of Counter-Strike players, but nobody that takes the game as seriously as like the European pro teams.
Right. And maybe having more local tournaments will not only help it grow as far as spectators and everything like that, but just as the players to take it a little bit more serious, since it's always been kind of a known fact that North American teams are not nearly as good as a European or Russian or any other teams out there. So maybe if they have more hype at home, they can get kind of more in that mindset of it. Even here, jumping over, we have in fifth and sixth place, you have Renegades, the Australian team who actually moved to America so they could start practicing and competing in more tournaments like this. And they got demolished. They got fifth place, a very kind fifth place, I would say, considering they 16-0'd by any team, let alone it was Luminosity, who has been, I mean, playing a lot better lately.
For reference, Luminosity, over the course of that day, they 16-0'd Renegades, and then they only dropped 5 rounds in their other game. So they were playing really well on day one.
Yeah, so I mean, and they were even playing well in SIVO. So Luminosity wasn't anything just to, you know, blow off by any means, but getting 16-0'd by any team at a tournament of this caliber.
Well, especially when you've been boot camping in Vegas and you're supposed to be here to you know, make your mark. And
again, we discussed it, I think it was last episode or the episode before, where we mentioned Renegades, saying like they're a quiet team. You don't hear a lot from them as far as going into tournaments. And I know they've been working really hard on that. And after their victory against CLG the first time, Sponge had an interview and he kind of stood up on his soapbox, you know, pounding his chest saying, hey, look, we finally, you know, here we are in this tournament. We ended up doing really well and blah, blah, blah. And here's that audio of Sponge, which if you haven't heard it yet, which I'm sure you have, if you've even watched it, because it's everywhere. But this is Sponge kind of speaking after CLG. I mean, do you have anything to add to this, or do you want to talk about it afterwards?
I'll talk about it afterwards, because I do have some points based on these comments. But
okay,
let's run the audio.
For this event and like the slump and stuff we had, look, I'm going to acknowledge we did have a slump and we didn't play very well. But hearing the rubbish like from the casters coming out saying like we were trash, basically, I read a Gosu Gamers interview where they said we weren't even a threat. It's ridiculous. Like, we were at the Cologne Major and we beat Titan. We did better than the American teams did. And we just like get flack.
So there's Sponge. You can kind of hear it in his voice. Like he's a little
frustrated.
Yes, he's frustrated with, I think, the way the public looks at Renegades, and he feels like they deserve more respect. I think in his voice, that's what you hear.
All right, and here's why he doesn't. So this guy, he makes that comment about getting flack and not being a threat. Like, I went back and looked, and in 2015, they've played 37 maps that were recorded by HLTV.org, and they went 18-19, so less than 500. You go and actually look at the wins that they had. 10 of those 18 wins were against Australian teams, 5 Australian teams, 2 Asian teams, 1 South African team, and 1 Mexican team. I mean, you're not really playing top competition that you're beating.
No, and I think Renegades has a little bit of what Cloud9 had for a little bit there, when Cloud9 was really at their lowest, to where people looked at them at a higher caliber of team than what they really were, because they were the best North American team at the time.
Yeah.
And I think Renegades, you have that same feel of, they are the top Australian team, so they, you know, they get a little bit more respect and a little bit more publicity than what a probably team of their caliber would be if they were, say, from Europe.
Yeah.
So I think that also puts the bar up higher than what they probably deserve to have.
Yeah, like you're saying, if Renegades was from Poland, they wouldn't even be invited to any of these things, or they wouldn't even be on the map for these tournaments.
No, and look, Sponge, like I've said before, and this is my opinion, but I feel like Sponge and Renegades is a fan favorite. People like that Australian kind of attitude where They always have their flags with them and the little koala bear stuffed animal and everything there. And they're trying to come out of the Australian scene, which is very difficult to come out of just because you're kind of in your own time zone and you're literally on your own island out there. So it's difficult to do things, which is why the team moved out here. And I know a lot of people is giving them, you know, trouble about, you know, okay, well, you said this and then way to go ahead and get 16 and owed. He said this before that match. I just want to get that out there. He said this after they won. So he was hyped and his adrenaline was going. I don't think he would have said those exact words after he got 16 and 0.
That's a good point. He probably wouldn't have been as...
Like, if there was one person that I know they always interviewed the winning team, but if there was one time to interview the losing team or at least get some words of wisdom.
Yeah, it would have been after that match.
It would have been like, hey, what do you have to say? You literally just said, we basically earn more, we deserve more respect because it's ridiculous that we're not getting the same respect as some of these teams are. And even in the audio, he kind of mentions, like, he doesn't mention European teams. He says top American teams. So I think he kind of knows that they're not at the caliber of Fnatic or anything like that, or, you know, even Na'Vi.
Yeah, but if you look at the respect he's asking for, even as a top American team, they're not even there.
No. And they had plenty of time practicing here and boot camping here to where this tournament, you should have made it out of group. If you were working as hard as as Sponge claims that they're working, I would expect them to be out of groups considering they were in a group with Winter Fox, Renegades, obviously, Counter Logic Gaming, and Luminosity. Luminosity will take that group. I'll give it to them on that front. Renegades and CLG, though, I mean, that's a coin flip if Renegades was as good as he's trying to make them out to be.
Yeah.
Definitely not the way it went, though, when you end up being right next to Complexity at the end of the day, which we just went over, that Complexity has kind of been a dark horse for,
yeah,
since 2014, not doing anything relevant.
Yep.
So again, I think Renegades benefits, but also suffers from being quote unquote the Australian team. And that's something that they're going to have to carry around with them until they can start getting into more of this North American Counter-Strike scene, which what you just mentioned is also not even the greatest. So he's going from an awful Counter-Strike scene to a little less awful Counter-Strike scene.
I don't know. I just, he wants the respect, but they haven't put in or the effort to actually get there yet. And that's my whole deal with what he said.
Moving on, you have Luminosity getting third, CLG getting fourth. Luminosity, a respectable third, right? Someone has to get third place.
Yep.
I feel like getting third place behind Liquid and C9 is nothing to be upset about, especially with the way they've been playing. They made it out of groups as well, going undefeated. They, like you said, in group play, they lost, what, five rounds in total. So
yeah, they lost five total rounds. I mean, that includes 16 and 0ing Renegades, but five total rounds throughout groups. That's very impressive.
A respectable third place from them. Then you had the finals between Cloud9 and Liquid, which was actually a rematch from group, which I called after Liquid beat Cloud9 that they would meet again in the finals. And then they did. And then Cloud9, your top American dream, went to Valhalla.
By like this much.
You say that much and I'm looking at the standings, but it just says first place. It doesn't say first place by that much.
No, so that whole final series was North American Counter-Strike, like
just hard nose. Just,
well, no, it's like you had Cloud9 that just completely dominated Liquid on the first map. And then you have Team Liquid that just completely dominated Cloud9 on the second map. And then the third map goes to OT.
This is very true. And I know the second map was Inferno, which is not, you know, Cloud9's strongest suit. I know they won one previously on Inferno in the same tournament, but that was even a shock for a lot of people watching that iPower was able to, or I'm sorry, that Cloud9 was able to play that well on Inferno at iPower. One thing though, and I even mentioned this because we were watching this, a lot of these matches together, Cloud9's defense is horrendous. And I'm not talking defense as in when you're just playing, like counter-terrorist or anything like that. I'm talking about when they are on a site and they have to defend the retake. So whether or not it's three of them trying to defuse the bomb against two terrorists or vice versa, and they have to, you know, go and plant the bomb on a site, they are terrible at holding down positions on the map. They would constantly lose 4-on-2s or 3-on-1s because they were just terrible at holding angles. Now, they're, you know, in their defense, a lot of Counter-Strike comes down to just getting your shot, and they just weren't hitting their shot. You know, when some dude turns the corner and just pops you in the dome, you can't really blame someone for not being able to retaliate.
Right.
I mean, when someone gets the flick headshot around, you know, barrels, but there's nothing you can do.
So my whole thing with Liquid at this tournament was, like, if you watched their pistol and eco rounds, like, Liquid was taking out full teams on eco rounds with, you know, an armor and a couple decoys. And it seemed like on those eco rounds, when Liquid was able to win versus full buys, they were traveling like kind of like this pack, and everybody was shooting at the same person, and it was kind of like this, it was obviously a strategy they had for eco rounds. And then as soon as they got out of the eco round, they like split apart and started doing their own thing. You know, Hiko would be watching mid or you know, whatever they were doing, and they would just kind of fall apart. And I was like, that, I feel like even though they've got people on that team that can hit those shots when people walk around the corner, when you don't have that support with you to quickly rotate in and help out, you drop the map, you lose map control, and then you lose the round.
And I think that's something that you saw outside of the finals, even through Liquid or through really any team at this tournament. There were a lot of sloppy retakes of people. I mean, like I said, it would be a 2-on-1 and people would peek at really awkward times or not peek with each other. And they would constantly just go 1-on-1-on-1 through the door and just constantly get taken out by the same opper 3 different times.
I think it was, there was a situation where Shazam managed to get an ace with the op, and it was because the team used, I think it was CLG who's playing,
where they just kept going through.
Yeah, just one at a time, just kept peeking one at a time. And it's like, he's got an op. He's going to get you if you just keep going one at a time.
Right. Anyway. So that being said, though, Liquid does qualify for San Jose IEM. So that's one thing to take away. They did get second place, but they did qualify. So
yep, they were the highest finishing.
Yes, they were the highest finishing non-invite team to San Jose. So you will see them there in 2 weeks, I believe. So all of that kicking and screaming and crying that their owner did.
Well, and
I mean,
that was
it was for something, I guess, because now they finally proven that they were there. Keep in mind, I don't have it in front of me. I think they're going to be play Envious the very first round. I think that's how the bracket was working, where Envious is playing the invite team.
Well,
good news is they have 2 weeks to watch film and prep for Envious.
If they want to.
Which happens to be a thing that apparently North American teams aren't good at. There's actually some audio here that you pulled. Why don't you set it up here? Because you're the one who pulled it.
So Sir Scoots and Fifflarfin were on the Esports Weekly show with IGN, the 5-minute weekly.
That 5-10-minute weekly where they can, show that they put on.
You know, where they really get down and deep with esports and, you know, really get the tough answers. Anyway, he basically asked, the host asked, will we see a top 8 North American team? Well, Cloud9's already done that, but Sir Scoots kind of elaborated on why he thinks North American teams struggle against the European competition.
And I think one of the biggest issues is North American bravado and ego. In Europe, when they scrim, for the most part, they'll play all 30 rounds and they'll actually scrim.
Sure.
To work on strategies, to work on their various things they want to work on that map against whoever they're playing with, right? North Americans scrim to win the scrim.
And I know based on Hiko's comments during the iBuyPower that they have a person that does nothing but statistics for the teams they're playing, like what maps they veto and how they like to, you know, organize their economy. You've got 2 weeks to prepare, and you're right. They're playing Envious. There's plenty of film, plenty of stuff to study. Don't go out in the first round like you have been.
Well, and we actually have, you pulled also audio from Hiko, and what is that audio about then?
This is Hiko explaining why they did so awful at SIVO, and I think this gives you a really good idea of their mentality. Going into SIVO and then afterwards.
Okay, so I wanted to briefly mention SIVO, you know, not too much. What was up with that?
Oh, there's a lot of problems. I think we were very overconfident going in. I think we expected Dignitas to just be a walk in the park. We expected, even after we lost to Dignitas, we expected Conquest to just be like, okay, we played these guys a bunch. We think we're better than them. We're going to just run them over.
So that's Hiko explaining their mentality going into SIVO, where obviously they get knocked out in groups, 2-0'd out of the tournament. And then I didn't pull it, but after they qualified for the finals in day two, he did another interview and was quoted and said, whoever we play in the finals better look out because we're coming. I'm like, you got this on one hand, the mentality of, you know, we have to take every match seriously.
Stay level-headed.
Yeah, and then on the other hand, you've got this, oh, we're awesome, and then you go in and get absolutely canned by Cloud9 in the first round, or first map.
So this is what, and I have no idea if this is true, I think Liquid went into iBuyPower with a target on San Jose. Yes, you want to win the tournament going in, but to them, I also think it was a very big deal. Just like any other team that could have qualified for San Jose, I think it would have been a very big deal for them just to qualify. To say, hey, we were able to qualify for San Jose. We didn't have to get the invite. You know, we were there. Because arguably, you could probably switch. If Cloud9, again, did not have the reputation of being Cloud9 and North America's baby child, arguably, probably could be replaced by some other teams there.
Well, over the last 3 months, you could easily swap C9 and Liquid in and out for any of the tournaments one or the other was invited to.
And again, did iBuyPower answer that question for you? I mean, you even said they lost one map, the other team lost the other, and then it went into overtime. I mean, it was about as close as you could still get. I mean,
right.
I feel you could play 100 rounds and end up
with 50-50. I mean, I don't know. I'm really frustrated, and going back to that Sir Scoots audio, I'm really frustrated with like that American mentality that, you know, they're really good and they don't really have to work on it anymore. Like they're the top NA team, or I mean, you still got something you need to play for.
Yes, and I completely agree, and I do think just being an American and being North American, we're somewhat relate to the attitude of, hey, you know, if we just play these scrims the same exact way we play the games, that should work. That should be fine. But if Sir Scoots is saying that European teams actually scrim and, I don't know, come, like talk with the other team and say, hey, we're going to go A, can you also go A to help out, you know, our A side? Or,
you know, I don't know if it's so much that. I feel like it's probably something like when they go into a scrim and they're playing all 30 rounds, they like say they want to work on their A take on the Terra side, and that's all they do the entire scrim. Even if like switching to B means they win the match, they keep going to A to work on that particular, you know, setup or situation. But
no one's behind the closed doors. So yeah. No one officially knows if that is the reason why. I guess you can't argue with it that much because it is true. I mean, North American teams do struggle. Cloud9 was a top 8 team at one time. They're arguably top 10 now.
Yep.
I mean, you could, like you said, you can switch them out with Liquid any day of the week. So something's going to have to change in the North American scene. It's definitely not going to happen, though, at San Jose. It's just not. I mean, you have two North American teams, Cloud9, Liquid, competing there. I'll adopt Luminosity as North American.
They're American.
They're on our side of the ocean.
They come to our tournaments. Come on, Luminosity. We like you.
They're a North American team for the sake of argument. So you have everything there. One thing that North American teams, I feel like North American teams do this a lot more than European teams, and that is make roster moves. Oddly enough, all the roster moves that went down last week actually did not involve any North American teams.
They were all a little too busy at iBuyPower, every single one of the teams.
Right. So when the European teams had their downtime, I guess they decided this would be the best time to make some roster moves and get some practice in before any big tournaments there. The big one that kind of had a trickle-down effect throughout a lot of teams here was Pronax stepping down from Fnatic.
And that's huge. If you talk to anybody that has paid attention to Fnatic, paid attention to Counter-Strike, they know what Pronax kind of meant for that team. He was the in-game leader, strat caller. He was the brains behind Fnatic.
I mean, they've won three majors with that lineup. It's the first lineup change Fnatic is making since 2014. And that's when they added, you know, Olaf and Crims and everything there. So it's a big change that's coming into play. Who do you know, and I think you do, who's going to take over the in-game leader for now? I mean, obviously this can always change.
Yeah, rumor has it that Flush is taking over in-game leader duties for now. Rumor also, not rumor, stats say he's not very good while he's doing it.
And I wonder what, and I know everything's very not really touched upon. I know JW made the comment of saying Pronax, I guess, was not 100% on board with the amount of commitment that the rest of the guys were willing to work on. So JW said, like, in his, obviously this is taking one sentence, but he said it's just pointless to try to fix in-game issues when all of us aren't on the same page.
Yeah, and it I mean, well, you talked about their...
Read into that as much as you want.
You talked about their major wins. I mean, this isn't a move, you know, facilitated by lack of performance. They won. Obviously, there's just some internal struggles that Pronax or Fnatic didn't want to deal with.
Right. You can read into JW's comment as much as you want, because if after you win three majors, I don't think Pronax is over Counter-Strike by any means, even though that's what their statement kind of made it sound like. They made it sound like he just wants to try something else. He'll try getting back into Counter-Strike in 2016. But I don't see, after you won three majors, you're arguably the top team in the world, why you would just step down the way Pronax did.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, maybe he wants to... They were talking about him wanting to play with friends or something, but if you want to win, you don't necessarily leave the top team to go play with your buds.
Right. You just find time, or tell them, yo, I'm...
You stream, you know, with them on those, like, Tom required Brady, stream hours.
Tom Brady can't just go and play football with his buddies on Sundays because he has to play a game. That's...
Yeah.
It's called being a professional. It's called you are at the top of your game. And exactly, you have those... You have time to play with your friends and just goof around. So I don't believe that at all one bit. So I do think there was probably something going on behind the scenes there. Either way, Pronax is no longer on Fnatic. Dennis actually joins Fnatic, so he leaves G2, which...
Well, so with Flusha actually taking over that in-game leader, Dennis that comes in is one of the top fraggers for G2. He's a very good player himself. Is definitely going to fit right in. He's played with Olaf in the past.
Olaf and Crims. They played on LGB together in the past. So, and that was one of the things in G2 statement that Dennis said. He goes, I want to just go and play with my friends on Fnatic.
And see,
which is Pronax, such a dirty move.
Pronax, this is the difference. When Dennis wants to go play with his friends, he joins Fnatic. When you want to go play with your friends, unfortunately, there's no team for you to join.
It's such a dirty move by Dennis. I mean, I guess you can, whatever. You want to play with your friends. I respect that because you've played with them in the past. But man, G2, they were such, their stock was rising.
I was starting to root for G2 because that was such a fun team to watch play.
I mean, I went to their site looking for shirts.
Yeah, they didn't have any, right?
I know. I was on the G2 bandwagon. They had a new logo. They changed their names like three different times. I was all in on G2, and now I don't know what to think. I mean, you know, yes, AZ is leaving Dignitas to join D2 or G2. And, you know, yeah, AZ was the top fragger for Dignitas, and that could form. But
AZ wasn't just the top fragger for Dignitas. He was like two Dignitas players put together.
But I just feel like G2 had such a good thing going.
No, I totally agree. I was definitely hyped up for G2 after their last two tournaments. With Dennis on the roster.
And then Dennis just blows it up. One thing to take note, and I'm going to keep an eye out on the interwebs. Apparently, there was a undisclosed amount that Fnatic paid G2 for Dennis.
Oh, I'm sure there was a buyout.
There will be a number here eventually. There's always a number eventually that has to be high. You're thinking if Titan got Scream for, what, $150,000, give or take? Dude.
Dennis doesn't have his headshot rating, but
to buy Dennis off of a rising G2 team, I bet you 300.
You're gonna double it? You're gonna say 300?
I'm gonna double it. Because, and this is the way sports work, because Scream went for 150 and Scream is nowhere near Dennis, though I think Scream is overhyped because he is really good at headshots. I think they paid more, especially since it was
going to Fnatic. I don't know. I mean, I could see it going the other way just because Titan obviously have not got their return on that money yet. I could see a team offering a little bit less because it may not be worth it. Who knows? We'll especially see. If Dennis is the one that's wanting to go play with Fnatic.
This is true. I mean, I guess at the same time, I mean, G2 was involved in all of that.
Yeah.
To think of it, now that I'm thinking about it, man, G2 was just constantly getting their players bought out from their owner is probably like, what do I have to do to keep people to stay on the roster?
Yeah, but his owner's probably like, look at me lying in my pockets.
Right? He's going to end up buying Fnatic by the end of it. So we said that. We had AZ is joining G2.
AZ is joining G2, but before we get there, AZ and Pimp have also left Dignitas. So they are,
right.
They're like half a roster right now.
Yes, Dignitas is in shambles. I mean, I know Config, which is the 18-year-old boy wonder. He's one of the youngest pros out there. Config joined Dignitas, and so did Rubino. But Pimp was interesting. So I read he just stepped down. He isn't necessarily... He doesn't have another team lined up. I know he did a little tongue-in-cheek on Twitter saying, hey...
Yeah, he didn't ask me anything on Reddit. And kind of, obviously, the first question somebody asked was...
Why?
Why did you leave Dignitas? And he was. It seemed like he was kind of frustrated with... Because he's a really good rifler, and they kind of forced him to start opping because they had AZ on the team. And he actually kind of took a little dig at Dignitas and basically said, losing him and AZ, that team is not going to be good.
Well, and I feel bad because when I thought Dignitas, I thought Pimp. And when I thought Pimp, I thought Dignitas. He was just...
Yeah.
To me, he's been on that team long enough to kind of earn that recognition there. It does surprise me that he was willing just to step down, though, without another team. I know, like I said, he kind of put on Twitter saying, hey, Team YP, call me when you need me and everything like that. But I agree. I mean, Dignitas has gone through so many roster changes. I think since September of this year, they've gone through like 3 or 4 different roster changes, all right before... you know, tournaments or big lands that they need to actually probably have a team in for practice.
And yeah, it just seems like they are
constantly a rotating door of any player. It's just players are either leaving or they're trying to switch it out. So Dignitas definitely has to, I don't know, pull the parachute out and just slow down their descent, because
you got to wonder why all these players are so willing to jump to another team. I mean, I figure, you know, you'd kind of think if you, like, put them in a good situation,
well,
they'd
want
to stay.
Look at the player's point of view, though. I mean, so AZ left Dignitas for G2. A huge upgrade on his part.
Yeah, yeah.
Dennis left G2 for Fnatic. Huge upgrade on his part as far as what Fnatic is compared to G2 historically. Yes, G2 is on the rise, but at the same time, if Fnatic is like, hey, man, especially if you have friends on the team, like, hey, come join us, come play with us, then I think it made the decision very easy for him. And obviously, I think teams are more willing to do that because they know once the player comes to the owner and says, hey, I want to go play for that team, you basically have to do it. Because what are you going to do? Are you going to tell that player, no, you're going to play with us?
And then you have to worry about commitment and if they're going to play at the level they can play at.
Do you honestly think that player is going to do that? These guys don't have like a contract year or anything like they do in actual... you know, contract sports. So I don't think you're ever going to want to tell a player, no, sorry, you have to play with us.
Just looking at the trades at this point, especially Dennis to Fnatic and AZ to G2, because those are the two closest linked. G2 is actually 3-0 since adding AZ, and Fnatic is only 2-1. So G2, I think, has won this trade so far.
Out of the 3 matches, this is completely and mathed out.
I was actually surprised that was all that has been played since they've been added.
Well, actual matches, like we've said, scrims are scrims, and that's probably all done completely off the book. So, but it's like you said, all these guys play together. So,
well, and that's a frustrating part too.
These roster moves aren't like, oh my god, how's this happening?
It's like you have this like rotating, you know, seat where you like start at these like smaller teams and then you get added to a better team and the better team. And then you get on like Fnatic and NiP
And then you talk to Thor, and he's like, well, these guys played in 1989 together. And yeah. Blah, blah, blah. They actually played on the playground and played hopscotch. And
yeah, they were.
It's like,
yeah.
How, Thor? How do
Foursquare,
you know that?
Yep.
So that's all those roster moves. And I'm sure there will be roster moves on the American side. I think Renegades is... Well, okay, so what's the next team, do you think, to make a roster move? Because you've been saying this whole time NIP is. Do you still believe, after all these moves...
Yeah, I still believe Get Right is going to be the last player left on NIP.
When it's all said and done,
yeah,
he will be the
original
member.
Get Right's
going
to be the only one left. I think everyone else is going to walk. I mean, obviously, they've even said they're going to wait till the end of the year. Because their contracts expire. But I could see Get Right renewing. I mean, just all the stuff that went on with him, they have to be the next one to make a big change.
I still think you're wrong on that. But let's get down to the micro, because I actually want to talk a little bit about that NIP thing. So let's move on to the micro.
That was live, everyone.
Live production here, because 9 episodes in and I'm just too lazy to edit actual echoes into the show. Okay, so in my micro contribution this week, for those new listening, the micro is a segment where we take a series of stories that may not warrant a full-on discussion, nor we don't have the time to warrant a full discussion. That being said, NIP actually disbands their Dota 2 team. This comes off the heels of the Dota 2 NIP team failing to qualify for the last two majors, being the International 15 and Frankfurt. So that doesn't look good on them, especially when NIP is kind of considered esports powerhouse as far as a gaming company goes. In NIP's statement, they actually said in the statement, which I found a little interesting, that they're basically done. They're focusing all on to Counter-Strike.
So
don't expect a new Dota 2 team for NIP anytime soon, or anything else for that matter, out of them. They're focusing all on Counter-Strike. That being said, I mean, that offers more money to keep more players. Maybe they want to keep that roster.
They're not even getting paid the money they're owed now.
Well, but now they have one less team, one less file to worry about in accounting. So, again...
is what it is.
They say that they disbanded because they failed to qualify and it's just not the performance. This is also all after the CEO fiasco and not paying players
fiasco.
Yeah,
we never found out if it was just the Counter-Strike team. I mean, I don't even know if the Dota 2 team had earned anything. I have no idea. But we never found out if it was just the Counter-Strike team not getting paid or if it was an organizational problem.
Look,
as a whole.
NIP is like slowly falling apart brick by brick every week. Every episode, it seems like we have either main story or a micro story talking about what's happening in NIP's organization. So,
all right. My contribution, Sacramento Kings co-owners have purchased an LCS spot. Their team is going to be called NRG, and they've already recruited two top Korean players in Impact and GBM. And this kind of comes off, there was rumors of NBA players and NBA team owners asking what it would take to get into esports. And apparently the quickest way to do that is to go ahead and just buy an LCS slot.
I don't argue with that. I mean, if the quickest way to get into esports is having money, you could essentially just start a team if you are a millionaire and fly out some guys to tournaments, and people will be like, oh, I've never heard of this team before, but great, they're here now. And if you're a respectable thing and you start winning, you could literally make an esport team within like a month's time if you're willing to pay guys to leave teams.
Man.
And
if you can pay them, if you can buy the spot and you can pay them to join your team, with the sheer amount of tournaments that go on, you could carve out a spot. Yeah, like you said, in a couple months, just winning the few tournaments you go to.
And even have like be considered like a dominating team, and people would never even realize that you just showed up a month ago.
Right.
If you win 3 tournaments in a row, like people would not realize that you're just a little baby franchise.
Well, I'm sure Thorne could talk about how they used to play together
somewhere down the line.
Yeah. Anyway.
So there's that pretty big deal though. I mean, if there's one team that, if there's a group of people that I trust making an esports team being taken serious, it would be people who own an actual NBA franchise, right?
Yeah, they obviously know how to run a sports team. Yeah.
That's a good sign. Seeing people who probably don't know how to own a sports team, that would be YouPorn. And they did finally announce that Team YP have announced that they do have an official male and female Counter-Strike team. Because if there's one place in the world that you probably need to separate male and female, it's in esports.
So do you want to talk about the female thing or the Team YP thing?
I want to get it off my chest. I think it's very cool that Team YP has these. I actually, they were playing a match earlier today. So that's great for them. I do think that's kind of neat that they're breaking into esports and they're not making it a bit that they are also YouPorn.
They're actually trying really hard to not be associated with YouPorn.
Really hard to not make it associated with YouPorn, other than that's what pays the bills.
Pretty much.
So I respect them for that. You know,
matter, like the only mention of YouPorn on their website was at the bottom in their like copyright
and
line.
And I'm pretty sure that's even gone, right?
Yeah, now it says Team YP instead of YouPorn.
And I feel for the amount of time I've spent on the site, I'm like a part team owner. So I root for Team YP. I feel like I have
your advertising dollars are going to a good cause.
I feel like I have some stock in that team. Just like I've hung out with you guys before. I know this. You've seen a side of me that, you know, no one else has before. So yes, they do have a male and female team. Why they thought they needed a male and female team, I don't know. I don't know why we have... This dates back to when we played competitively in Halo and Rainbow Six, where you had like the Frag Dolls, which were a full girls team, fully sponsored, and they were garbage.
They literally went to the tournaments to play exhibition matches just so the teams that were there could say they played against the Frag Dolls. Like, that was the entire purpose of that team.
And we even beat them in, like, the actual tournament pool play.
And let's just go ahead and throw this out there. That team that we brought also had a girl on the team.
Yes. But we didn't feel the need to make a whole new team just for her. The girl on our team was better than any male friends that we had. So we were like, sure, come join the team. You're pretty good. So I feel like that's how esports should be. You don't have to have a full female team. That being said, I don't understand, in the world where we do have full female teams, the guys still dominate the girls. There's no physical strength involved. There's nothing. Somehow guys still dominate women.
The only analogy I can make is that if you take men's Counter-Strike teams and women's Counter-Strike teams, the perfect analogy would be European Counter-Strike teams as the men and North American Counter-Strike teams as the females. They're just not as good. And there's really no reason why that is, other than they're just not.
No, because if you talk to the females, they take it just as serious as the men. It's just there's some block there that makes it to where, for whatever reason, women stop at a certain level in esports. Not saying they don't belong in esports, so before anyone grabs their torches and pitchforks, I'm not saying that at all. In fact, I think whether or not women should be in esports is a stupid discussion anyways, just because of course they can be in esports. There's no reason that they can't be in esports. And you won't ever talk to anyone in this world that thinks they shouldn't. You will never talk to someone who says, you know what, I think there should be an all women's team because they can't play with the men. Because that's idiotic. We are playing on computers with controllers and mouses and keyboards. There is literally no reason
for there to be a separation other than
a locker room.
Well, the only reason the separation is there is because women have traditionally not been able to compete with men in the game. So we're going to keep the women separate so they can have their own competition.
Their own league competing with women.
And then you can have the guys play in their own league and you don't have to worry about feelings getting hurt.
But if a woman, say, you know,
you don't
say JW was a woman with that luscious lips. JW was a woman. Would he be on Fnatic if you had a woman as good as JW?
And not only do I think he'd be on Fnatic,
you think he'd be good looking?
I don't even know if he'd be good looking, but he would be out there in front of everybody all the time. I'm 100% sure Fnatic would be like, you are on all the marketing material.
This is true. If there was an actual woman as good as Fnatic or as JW or any pro for that matter,
that would be like the ultimate marketing tool for one of these esports teams.
And that's my point on why the discussion of esports or women in esports is dumb. Because if you did have a woman that just dominated headshots everywhere, you know, I think it there would be no argument. And I think that's why it's stupid. Same thing with women being casters. You know, I think they do a fine job. There's never been a time where I listened to a woman caster and just thought, man, she doesn't know what she's talking about because it's esports.
That might happen at IEM considering the Colin Cowherd show's co-host got invited to be a host at the IEM San Jose.
That's a good point. Do you know her name?
I don't even know her name, no.
I don't know her name, but I think on like episode 2 or 3, we played some audio of The Herd for Colin Cowherd's new sports show, and he played a clip making fun of esports, and the only person on the show that kind of was backing them up was his female co-host saying like, hey, you know, that dumb.
And my problem is the fact that I don't know her name, and like the only exposure she's had to esports are those videos of her white knighting, like in some kind of weird reverse universe, white knighting esports people.
And I know some people have an issue with her doing it just because she isn't from the esports community. A lot of people think that's an issue. I don't have an issue with that.
I do. I mean, I feel like there's people there that deserve it. And I mean, this conversation has come up a lot lately. There's people that have been working at that specific job in esports, and they are now being passed over because a good-looking blonde defended esports 2 times on The Herd.
Such is life, I guess. I don't know. I mean, this is coming from someone who's in radio, and I can tell you there's a million sideline blonde reporters out there, or anything out there that's a female sideline reporter that is way over their pedigree for what they probably deserve.
Yeah.
So there's that. So that's it for the micro as far as this episode goes. Typically, this would be the end of the show. But real quick, we just want to take some time out to kind of update the few listeners that we have here on kind of where we are going with the show, what we want to do, kind of new things that we're thinking about. As far as the website, we are updating the website. We're actually going to have just a show website now. It won't be through PGN anymore.
Yeah, PGN's actually probably going to go on a probably indefinite hiatus. Let's face it, written content is way too much. It's completely oversaturated, and there's absolutely no need to keep pouring money into something that's not going to, you know, result in anything. So PGN's probably going to go on hiatus.
For some people, a podcast isn't enough, let alone written content.
Yeah, so we're going to move the show to its own website. It's going to be just the show, all the good stuff, just content that we've created specifically for the Centering.
So that's going to be tcr.gg, actually. So you can go ahead and check that out and bookmark that so you can get every latest episodes and show notes there. Keep in mind, it is constantly under construction. We're trying to work out, you know, looks and everything, how we want the website to look like and everything for the flow. So, but again, that's where you'll be able to find all the latest episodes as well. For the time being, PGN is still up, so you can always go on there to check out the episodes. Again, always follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. That's your definite way of finding the latest news on there. As far as content goes, again, like I said, some people, you know, they want a little bit more than just a podcast for whatever reason. That's not their thing. We are working on a Twitch channel. We actually have that. There's not much there. We've never even streamed just yet, but we're getting it all set up. So you can follow us, twitch.tv/TheCenterRing. We got creative with the name there as well. So just
it's all about consistency, man.
Right, exactly. So you can also go ahead and follow the channel if you want there. Check it out. We'll eventually do some shows live.
We have some live shows. We're also going to do some streaming events.
Yes, I kind of want to do a series of maybe once a month, do what I like to call the best of 100, where me and you just pick a game. And we go toe-to-toe to see who like Super Smash Brothers, best of 100, first to 51.
Brutal.
It sounds brutal that it's going to just be fun.
Yeah.
So we have that. I mean, tons of things. So again, check out the new website, tcr.gg, for all of all of that news and junk, and like I said, constant updates and everything going out there. So just follow that. Again, follow the show at The Center Ring on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom.
I'm at Brand PGN, which I guess I have to change
which
now.
That's probably going to change here soon shortly as well. Okay, again, guys, thank you so much for listening to The Center Ring. This was episode 9. Next week, episode 10, breaching the double digits. Things are getting real here. So thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.